are listening to Agent Court Pentecostal Church's audio podcast. The following message, Keeping the Weight Off, is the last message in our Forgiven series, presented Sunday, April 24th, 2016, by Pastor Keith Smith. For message notes and readings that correspond with teachings on this podcast, visit our website at www.apchurch.com.
Well, our forgiveness series finishes today. Pastor Jonathan and I have been moved and challenged just hearing from so many of you, emails and conversations. Your stories, they challenge us. You know, some have just said, you know, we're in a new place of joy and freedom as we have followed what Jesus says about forgiveness. Others are, you're still struggling with it, but you're determined to get there. So on this final weekend, let's move back and just sort of take with us where we have been. Pastor Jonathan started us off the first weekend of the series at really what is ground zero of forgiveness. How many know forgiveness for a Christian starts with the cross of Jesus Christ? God's forgiveness of us in Christ. And he gave examples of people who would try and climb their own ladder, make themselves good enough for heaven. But as we sang today, well, we didn't sing it this way, but, you know, to sing about God's grace is a way of saying, ain't no ladder high enough, you know. It's just, we can't get there. How many are glad that God reached down and bridged the distance with the cross? Isn't that wonderful? And then the next weekend, we saw that in response to Christ's forgiveness for us, we have what it takes to forgive others, right? We can afford to be generous when we look at all the forgiveness that we have received when Jesus gave his life for us on the cross. But Jesus also told a story about forgiveness that said that if we choose to not forgive, we are the ones that end up tortured for the rest of our life. He used the illustration in his story about being imprisoned, held in bondage for the rest of our lives. You know, so forgiveness is really letting go of the hope that the past can be changed. And forgiveness is not saying that someone else is right. It's saying, I want my heart to be right, to move forward without whatever's happened to me in the past. I want to move forward free in what God has for me in the future. Now, forgiveness does not mean, do you remember this? It doesn't mean that we deserve it. It doesn't mean that we don't hold the person accountable. It doesn't mean that we always reconcile or trust. Listen, if someone lies to you and you forgive them, that doesn't mean that you believe everything that they say from that point on. You know, and it also doesn't mean that they get off the hook, that they get away with it. How many know every one of us are going to stand before the judge of the universe, every human being? And so there is ultimate justice ahead. But we left that service saying, because Jesus told us, we are going to take however heavy it is that we, whatever weight we are carrying because of people that have done tragic things against us, whatever hurt has been done to us, we're not going to hurt back. We are going to forgive as we have been forgiven. And so we left the rocks in the bins just as a way of saying that that's an expression to you, Lord, of what we are doing. And then wasn't that an exceptional teaching last weekend where Pastor Jonathan helped us understand that Jesus Christ can forgive us, but we can just find ourselves in the seat of doing penance, trying to earn the forgiveness or not forgiving ourselves in shame and in guilt for one of two reasons. One, because we don't know how amazingly complete the forgiveness of Jesus Christ already is. How many are thankful that God has no problem in the forgiveness department? No problem. But it also can mean that we haven't really dealt with the root of the sin that is giving us the problems. And so we left the service understanding, God, we want to repent completely because we want to know your grace completely at work in our lives. And we left, remember that verse that Pastor Jonathan led us in? If we confess all of our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from how much of it? All of it. And so that brings us to the final teaching on this series of forgiveness. So today, man, when we leave here, we're going to be experts in forgiveness, right? Forgiveness is not going to be a problem for us anymore. Next weekend, 59th anniversary message, cathedral anniversary, and that's all right because we're finishing up the series today. Forgiveness is not going to be a problem for us anymore. All forgiveness as of the end of this service will be all taken care of, right? Some of you are so sweet. Listen, anyone who has ever been on a, all of you are sweet, sorry. Forgive me for that. Anyone who's ever been on a diet knows that it's one thing to lose the weight. It's quite another thing to keep the weight off. It's the same thing with forgiveness. It's one thing just to forgive, but it's another thing to not allow any more unforgiveness to come into our heart, to keep that weight of unforgiveness off. And as a result, we can leave this series and you can just fall back into the ruts that you're in before, default back into the way of doing relationships like they were before, and forgiveness can be temporary. It's like these two brothers, James and Joey, that were, one afternoon they got into a big fight, and they fought all afternoon. Each one thought they were right. They carried into dinner time, and after supper, they were still fighting. There were threats. There were accusations. As they were going to bed, their mother said to them, you know, she said, now boys, what would happen if either of you died tonight, and you never had the opportunity to forgive one another? And they thought about that for a moment, and then James spoke up and he says, okay, I'll forgive Joey, but if we're both alive in the morning, he better watch out. You know, why is it that forgiveness can sometimes be temporary? We hear a series on forgiveness and we say, okay, but then it doesn't last. Two reasons by way of introduction. Number one, we slide back into the past ruts of unforgiveness. Be realistic. If you have spent years of your life, you know, just going deeper into the ruts of the way that you have handled this whole forgiveness area, you're not just going to hear a series and then be off into a whole new way of forgiveness. It's not going to be easy. Not this past week, the week before, haven't been up there for a while, and so I thought, well, it's springtime. On my day off, I went to our little property up north, And I didn't have any idea what the road would be like. It was the worst I have ever seen it. I have a all-wheel drive, but as I was going down the road, the little private road, you know, it's not kept by the county and that, heading up to our property, the ruts in the road were so deep. But here I was, you know, couldn't do anything, but I just had to keep moving. So I tried to steer up onto higher ground. And you know what would happen, right? The ruts were so deep that because it was so muddy, I slid down into those same ruts and somehow just spinning and with mud all over the vehicle, I got through. And then I started to think, how am I going to get out of here? Because if you remember a week ago, I mean, it was some beautiful sunny days. The snow was melting, which meant there was even more mud. So the night before, I went walking down the road, and I thought, I'll never get out of here now. Look, it's even worse. Barely made it in. How am I going to get out? Do you know I got out? No problem. I didn't even go into one rut. Do you know what I did? I went across the field beside the road. I made myself my own road. And that's what I'm going to invite you to do today. To say, God, I don't want to slide back into the old ruts of the way for years. Maybe I've been processing the forgiveness of others. How many say, Lord, lift me up to higher ground? I want to find a new road. I Jesus, help me find, the old way hasn't worked. Help me find a way of doing forgiveness that is your way. The second reason why forgiveness does not last is so often we try to treat it as an event instead of a new way of doing life. We treat forgiveness as an event instead of the way to live our lives in Jesus Christ. This is what Peter did. He kept, you know, Peter just, he loved events. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? Let's make this into an event. Let's build, have a building program here. You know, remember Jesus talked about forgiveness and Peter says, let's make this a big event. And so he took the amount of forgiveness prescribed by the rabbis, doubled it and added a bonus forgiveness. He just loved these big events. So he took things pretty bad when he let Jesus down. Watch how Jesus helps Peter understand that forgiveness is not an event. Forgiveness is a process. Watch the screens.
What's today's catch? We didn't catch anything. Try casting your net on the other side. You might find something there. Let's sit down and have breakfast.
Peter? Do you love me more than anything else?
Yes, Rabbi, you know I do.
Then feed my lambs. Peter, do you truly love me?
Yes, Rabbi. You know I love you.
And take care of my sheep. Peter, do you love me?
You know everything. You know I love you.
Feed my sheep.
Why does Jesus ask the same question three times? Peter got it the first time. Peter had that done for him by Jesus because Jesus was coaching Peter into something more than an event. You know, oh, there, we got the answer we want. No. How many understand forgiveness is not an event, it's a process. And Jesus sticks with us as we keep saying, Lord, it may take another time and another time, but I'm going to keep at this until I get it right. You know, how many have found that forgiveness is not easy? I put it in your notes there. I think forgiveness is a wonderful thing until we are the ones that has to do it. This week I've been praying for you. Pastor Jonathan and I have, because this is the last weekend in the forgiveness series. And what about, you know, when you move forward from here, you keep at it, just like Jesus coached Peter, just to keep at it until you get there. Wouldn't it be great if this past week, when some of those tragedies of the past come and haunt your memory again, and the feelings of resentment try and rise up, or somebody new comes across your pathway, and you could be offended, you could resent them, you could get bitter again. Wouldn't it be great if you said, I'm not going to go down into the old ruts where I used to be, but I'm going to get on a new road and I'm going to keep at this until I do forgiveness Jesus' way. How many can say a good amen? That's what we want to do. So how can we do that? I want us to finish up the series and head out of here with three go-to truths that will help every one of us when something from the past or something new faces us, and it calls on us to forgive as we have been forgiven. The first one is this. Immediately, as soon as you get that pain, that hurt, the injustice, that's not fair, as soon as it happens, as soon as you can, redirect your thoughts to Christ's forgiveness. I'm going to say it again. You say aloud together with me the words in red. I just want to help us remember this week. Immediately redirect your thoughts to Christ. Immediately. You know, Peter learned to do this. You know, Jesus coached him and he got into living life a new way. We know that because he wrote a letter as an older man. How old was he? As old as Dr. Van? I don't know if it's that old. But he really is saying, listen to how Jesus responded when he was hurt. Follow his example. 1 Peter 2 in your Bibles. 1 Peter 2, and then find your way to verse 20. It's also on the screens. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, that is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you. Notice, it's unfair. Beaten for doing something, even though you were in the right, is an injustice. There's room for bitterness here. And what does he say to turn to? Say those words that are emboldened aloud together with me. Because Christ suffered for you. That's where we need to go immediately with our thoughts. Whatever anyone else is doing against me that's causing me to suffer, Jesus, I caused you to suffer. He's leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, how did he respond? He did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Watch this. The problem a lot of us have in this whole area of forgiving, even in a series like this, we leave saying, I've got to forgive. And we focus on this part of the verse. Listen to me. Forgive one another. When what we really need to focus on, I have found, is as Christ has forgiven you. Go there. Jesus, you have forgiven me. Remember, that's ground zero for all of a Christian's forgiveness, that we have been so graciously and lavishly and undeservedly been forgiven by Jesus Christ. Some will say, you know, so-and-so did this and they wronged me and that's not fair. I will tell you what is not fair. What is not fair is that the innocent Son of God died on the cross because my sin and your sin put him there. That is what's not fair. And so that means that any time I get into a state, oh boy, they did that wrong to me, just stinking, we're gonna bring it. That's as bad as I get, I hope. I have a place to go. And it gives me a sampling. It gives me empathy with what Jesus went through for me on the cross. Because Jesus didn't die on the cross for his sins, right? He died on the cross for, and he felt it. He felt it so much. Remember, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. I don't like this separation from you. Jesus took the sin of every human being, past, present, future, and provided enough forgiveness for all of us on the cross. But how many know it cost him? And so when I am hurt by someone, however tragic it is a sampling of what I put Jesus Christ through along with the human race when he died on the cross for us. And I told you in one of the messages that I've learned to do that. You know, when I am hurt, even if it's a big hurt, as I'm processing it, the most important thing I can do is immediately redirect my thoughts to Christ's forgiveness of Keith Smith. Because when I see how much I'm forgiven, I can afford to be generous. When I see what Jesus has done for me, and you know, it's also given me a sense of empathy, because you know how you feel when someone hurts you and the injustice and the wrong, and that's not fair and that ought not to have happened and that's damaged my life. I in that moment have a direct connection with what Jesus experienced on the cross. How many know he was damaged, body ripped wide open? I mean, the separation from his Father, the isolation, whatever I go through, Jesus understands. But listen to me, he didn't get that because of any wrong he had done. He got that because of the wrongs that Keith Smith had done. Do you see that? So right away, That's the most important thing I can do. When I am hurting and I want to hurt back, I immediately redirect my thoughts to, say it aloud together with me, to Christ's forgiveness. And then secondly, then what do? Well, I've learned this. Do forgiveness first, then let your feelings catch up later. You know, Peter is feeling lousy when Jesus comes to him beside the Galilee, like we saw in the video. And Jesus asks, Peter, do you love me? That's what matters to me. Not, are you getting this right? But do you love me? Do you want to get it right? Do you want to please me? And of course, that's why he's feeling so lousy, is because he let the Lord down. Jesus says, do you love me? And Peter affirms, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Do you know what Jesus says? Now, Peter's still feeling like a loser. And Jesus says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He says it three times. In other words, get out of that muddy rut you are in and get onto a new road. I want you to move forward in life. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Did Peter feel like doing it? Jesus said, you do forgiveness first. Let your feelings catch up later. Let's just sort of pick up into our series now. I remember, Pastor Jonathan, you shared that story of when you were in your early 20s, how you were hurt by someone repeatedly, and it damaged you. It just made you feel less than what God wanted you to feel. Listen, how many think that Pastor John felt like forgiving that dude? Or dudess, whoever it was. How many think he felt like it? No, I remember him saying, listen, he found himself picking up the rock again and again. The injustice of it all would catch up with him. But he kept putting that rock down, kept forgiving until he forgot where the rock was. But did he feel like it? Listen, did Corrie ten Boom, remember that example, picking up on the series now. Did Corrie ten Boom feel like forgiving that Nazi guard that had committed those atrocities? Her sister had died in the concentration camp. Did she, when he came to ask for forgiveness in a church basement, did she feel like forgiving him? Do you remember the story? Did she feel like it? Remember how she said it? She said, woodenly, mechanically, I reached out my arm to his outstretched hand, knowing that the will can function above the temperature of the heart. And I reached out and I said, I forgive you. And she said, never in my life have I felt the love of God as much as I did in that moment. How many know you forgive first, the feelings catch up later? Now, here's the big one. When Jesus was on the cross, how many think Jesus felt like being crucified? How many think Jesus felt like being separated from his Father, who he had had constant connection and communication and fellowship with throughout eternity past? How many think Jesus felt like being crucified and suffering and taking our sin upon himself? Of course not. Of course not. Father, if it be possible, if there's any other way, let's find that other way. Let this cup pass from me. You see, what I'm saying is this. I hear from people, and there's sort of this myth out there that in order to forgive someone, I have to feel forgiveness towards them first. You know, oh, Pastor, I can't just go out and forgive someone. I gotta be, you know, authentic. I gotta feel it in here. I gotta feel the forgiveness, then I'll forgive them. Anytime someone says that to me, do you know what I say to them? I say, you know, when my alarm went off this morning, I did something I didn't feel like doing. I got up. I got up. Does that make me a hypocrite? Please say no. No, it means that I care more about doing what's right than I do about my own personal feelings. See, you do what's right first, and then the feelings will catch up later. I had a woman come to me, a wonderful new Christian, and I'd spoken about forgiveness, and like so many of you, she just wanted to apply it to her life. And she came to see me, and I wrote down after she left what she said. She said, I chose to forgive, and for a while I felt better, but then sometimes the feelings came back strong. Right? Been there? So I remember telling her a story how when I was assistant youth director and Brother Gordon Upton was the district superintendent of the at the time, and I was assistant youth director with James Richards at the Coburg camp. And one of the things we, you know, you had to sort of learn how to ring that bell. Do they still have that bell at Coburg camp? Those that go there, Lakeshore camp in Coburg, and you'd ring the bell, and every time you'd pull on it, and you're clang clang, you know, clang clang, clang clang. I learned this about it. If you let go of the rope, it would still go clang, 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 clang. But as soon as you let go of the rope, each clang got weaker. And if you didn't pull on the rope again, the clanging would stop completely. How many understand? How many are tracking with me? Forgiveness is letting go of the rope. It's saying, I'm not going to put any new energy of resentment or of, you know, just revenge. I'm not going to put any more energy into pulling on that rope. Forgiveness is letting the rope go. It may clang a few more times, but then it's going to stop completely, because forgiveness is not an event. It is a process. And you stay with it until the clanging stops completely. Amen? And so I just want to encourage you, just because you have those feelings come back, that doesn't, no, you just bring immediately, what do? You redirect those thoughts to Christ's forgiveness. And then secondly, you do forgiveness first, then you let your feelings catch up later. You know, Peter did this. When he taught as an older man, when he taught and wrote to them, we read what he said in his letter. He says, if you suffer, even for one that's doing what's right, do what Jesus did. Don't retaliate. And then he ends by saying, entrust yourself to him who judges justly. How many trust the Lord to know what's really going on and to bring about ultimate justice? Amen? And so you forgive first, and then you just do what Jesus says and let your feelings catch up later. All right. So I'm going to review this because I really want it to come to you when you're hurt this week or when something of the past shows its ugly face and tempts you to resent and oh, my life would be different if that had happened to me. So what do we do first? Immediately redirect our thoughts to, and then we do forgiveness first, then let our feelings catch up later. And then third, this is so important, church family, keep the wound clean and it will heal. Keep the wound clean and it will heal. Don't just, you know, take this so far and say, well, I'll choose who I forgive and I'll take this out and I'll do partial forgiveness. Don't be like the one woman who heard a message on forgiveness and then she gave a testimony and she said, you know, I'm so glad I'm learning to sort of forgive, you know, a bit, because she said, I have an uncle who really hurt me a lot when I was a little girl. And I vowed I will never go to his funeral. But she said, now I'll be glad to go to his funeral anytime. Now, I have a prayer that I pray daily. It's a prayer that Jesus gave us that helps me keep the wound clean. Remember, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And you come down to that part. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin. Again, watch this. Forgive us our sins as we to the extent that we forgive those who sin against us. Sort of scary. It's the only part of the prayer that Jesus comes back to at the end of it to do further teaching on. Here's what he says in Matthew 6. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, I have this wonderful, amazing pump that I use for water filtration when I'm on my canoe trip or even up north on the lake and taking a day trip. I don't have to take water with me because I can have something that purifies right on the spot. And it's a pump. And there are two channels. There are two channels in it. And when I press the pump, it purifies water through the filter into the water container. But you know what else it does? It cleanses out the filter at the same time. Do you see what Jesus is talking about here? He's saying, as you and I forgive others, God cleanses us. You see, it's the same, we're the same human being that forgiveness of God, His grace flows into as we forgive others. How many remember the old way of purifying water? You just wait until the filter clogs up and then you clean it. That's what some Christians do. They get enough resentment and enough injustices. Maybe it's a communion service and they say, okay, Jesus, I better clean the filter. No, Jesus is talking about immediately turn to Him and say, Jesus, cleanse me. Cleanse me. Amen? Cleanse me. Keep the channels clean, Jesus, because the channel that I forgive others through is the very channel that Your grace and forgiveness flows into my life. So I keep that channel clean. It means keeping it clean. And so every day of my life, I pray the Lord's Prayer. It makes sure that I keep the wound clean. It'd be good for you to, when you come to that part where forgive, Lord, me as I forgive others, to the extent that I forgive others, is just a time to stop there and say, Lord, is my heart clean? Is my heart clean? Keep cleansing my heart till it's completely clean, Lord. See, we're at the end of this series, and some of you are going to get out there this week. It's just so on my heart that you would live the rest of your life, not in those old ruts that just are going to get deeper and take you into something muddier. And the worst case is that it would block out the forgiveness of God completely, and you don't even experience His grace in your life. But to get you into a new way, and for some of you, you know, it's... You're just going to have to go home today, and then there's going to be that same old thing said. And how many know there could be that same rut of resentment that you almost by default fall into? How many know that's a moment to say, I'm going to keep the wound clean. Going to keep the wound clean. Some of you teenagers, you know, when you find someone that says something to your face and something entirely different on Facebook, keep the wound clean. Keep the wound clean. You know that person that you may meet at work this week or at school, and they just know how to, and it's so easy for you to resent because they keep doing it again and again. How many know? That's a moment to say, it's my job to keep the wound clean. Some of you are going to face something not too many days from now that it's going to remind you of someone who hurt you and damaged you in your... And you just feel, if that hadn't happened in my life, listen, that's a moment to say, my job is to, say it with me, to keep the wound clean. I had quite a spill on my motorbike in my late teens in Halifax, and someone cut me off, and I jammed the bike down, and I slid right across the intersection on my knee. How many details do you want? It was messy. There was gravel in it. Went to the doctor, and he cleaned it all up. And, you know, it was painful, but he got it bandaged, stitched up and bandaged up. And then he said this to me. He said, okay, your wound is clean. The only concern now is infection. It'll take time to heal, but it will heal up nicely if you keep the wound clean. Keith, your job now is to keep the wound clean. How do we do that? When we're hurt or something comes at us from the past that reminds us of how we've been, and we just start to feel that injustice, that unfairness, that resentment, and if only that hadn't happened, how many know what to do? Immediately redirect your thoughts to? Do you have to feel like it to forgive? You forgive first and let the feelings catch up later. And then it's your job, no matter how many times you have to do it, it's a daily thing. Your job is to keep the wound clean. So I'm going to invite you just to bow your heads, just to allow us just to think of people from the past that have hurt us. And maybe in the forgiveness series, you've decided to forgive, but some feelings come back and you're saying, Jesus, I know what to do now. I'm going to just redirect my thoughts to your forgiveness of me. You forgave me so much. I have what it takes to forgive others. And I'm going to keep this wound clean, Jesus, by turning to you again and again. And for others, it's something current that's happening. Maybe even something you'll face this week. But you're saying, Jesus, I know what to do. I know what to do. And this song that is going to be played, and maybe we'll join Matt in singing of some of the words of it later. It's all about finding ourselves, because of the cross, forgiven. And that's what we're going to do. When we're hurt from something from the past or something that's happening, even this week, we're going to say, Jesus, I redirect my thoughts to your forgiveness of me. So let's just take those people, take those incidents, even take your future, even take this week and say, Jesus, when I'm hurt, I'm going to redirect my thoughts to the cross and how you forgave me.
You were listening to Agent Court Pentecostal Church's audio podcast. Make sure you don't miss a message by subscribing to this podcast. Click the subscribe button on our website at www.apchurch.com/podcast or search for Agent Court Pentecostal Church in the iTunes Store. All creative content and production for this podcast is provided by the Creative APC team.